Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. I'm Ken Edwards with the National Coalition of Labor. Sitting to my right, Ed Maher with the National Coalition of Labor. Good morning, Ed.
Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday. To my left, as usual, Phil Davidson, Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning.
How are you?
Hi, Phil.
The boys are back in town.
The triumvirate.
The left-hand man.
The triumvirate. And Phil, you have some guests here today. You want to shout them out?
I do. Welcome to the studio, Susan Davidson, my cousin, and her husband, Jack. They are visiting from Vermont.
The applause is for them and for the great state of Vermont.
No, just Vermont.
And me.
Thank you.
Sure, Phil. Whatever you want.
We are celebrating the life of the late, great Barbara Davidson, my aunt, Susan's mother.
You're having the celebration of life.
Yes.
That's awesome. So is that like a year afterwards, or when does that happen?
There's no specific timeline. It's when the family wants to do it.
Got it.
Yes.
All right. It's a reason to get everyone together.
It's awesome. Good. All right, listen, we got a ton of stuff to get to today. There's so much news happening. But before we do that, I just want to touch on something that I've been watching, obviously, I think as the rest of the world has been watching, and that's gas prices, right? And so you're like, oh, what does gas prices have to do with the, you know, workers? Well, it's got everything to do with workers, especially in the building trades where our guys and gals drive, right? I mean, they drive from job to job to job. They drive, you know, thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of miles a year going to job sites and home and et cetera. And when gas prices are, I don't know where, by you guys, I mean, I know, Phil, you're in the city.
The burbs, it's like $5.50.
At $6.70 in Chicago.
I think it went up.
Yeah, premium is like silver is like $7 now. Yeah.
It's crazy. So, you know, when it takes you, you know, now $130 to fill up your tank versus, you know, $60 in what it used to be, because it's literally double.
Right.
That affects your pocket. And when you're driving, you know, a Ford F-150 or the massive trucks that, of course, our building guys have to drive that get 2 miles to the gallon, you know, it gets expensive. So, you know, just one more thing that this administration is just not seeing the forest for the trees.
It's fine because we don't want Iran to have a nuke, Ken. So we're going to take
the actual nuclear deal in 2018, which is Trump's like, hey, we're out of this thing. We don't care. You know, and now all of a sudden, you know, he's back at it or whatever.
But, and the CIA's intelligence saying that there really wasn't a huge impact on Iran's nuclear stockpile with everything that's happened so far. Like, they still have plenty left.
They're trying to make a deal. They're going to give all their uranium to, what's that called? Oh, Russia.
Right.
the trusted nation of Russia. So, yeah, we could just slam our heads in the refrigerator door and just call it a day here.
But anyway, so I would encourage the administration, obviously, to realize that this is, you know, first of all, it's an extremely unpopular war, right? And second of all, it really is having an actual impact on everyday Americans' lives. Because if you're living paycheck to paycheck, and literally $100 might make the difference between you making rent that month or eating.
That's for sure.
Or putting gas in your car. Not everybody lives near a bus or a train.
No.
Right?
And especially if you're in the building trades, there's very few jobs that are accessible by public transportation.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to drive.
Yeah, no kidding. So, you know, hopefully this thing gets to an end quickly and gas prices go down. But I think I heard somebody say, like, you know, the gas prices skyrocket and they come down like a feather. Right, mm-hmm.
That's so, for sure. They're right? not like rushing to save everybody money again once their cost goes
down. It's like anything else. Like once eggs go over the price of $5, they ain't coming back down.
Yeah,
and they're all the gas companies are experiencing record profits. Right, like $7 billion I saw for Shell, I believe, in their last filing.
Shocking.
There's no worker I think that's been more impacted by this than Marco Rubio, though, because it's my understanding that he had to fly over to Vatican City this week and get yelled at by the Pope for what his boss is doing. So, you know, gas prices and the hits
and
on the
poppy. He's getting yelled at by the Southside Chicago Pope.
Can you imagine?
Right? You see, there was a picture this week of the Pope walking through Vatican City, and under his robe, he's got white Nikes on. Like, you could see the swoosh on. I was like, this guy is the coolest.
Yeah.
Hey, I got swag, Pope swag.
Hey, Marco.
Pope drip.
Watch your back.
Yeah.
It'd be a shame if something happened to you. That's how the Pope talks.
I was going to say, so. Also, gas prices are affecting flights majorly.
Oh, my God.
The cost and cancellations.
I'm going on a trip to England later this summer. My flight was half of what my friend just booked, because I booked it pre-war.
Yeah.
Literally double.
England?
Yeah.
Why are you in England?
Don't worry about it.
That's a real kick to the knickers, ain't it?
But yeah, literally double.
Phil, I choose to spend my money in America.
You should take the boat.
Yeah. I'm going to, it's a labor trip. I'm going
Fair
to do
enough.
Some research on the
with a U, labor with a U?
Yeah,
exactly.
That party just got decimated by thinking the election, by the way. I'm not kidding.
I'm going to go help them.
It is funny, consulting. Phil, I'm going to Sacramento, California next week for work, right?
Sorry.
With a bunch of operators. I've never been there.
Yeah.
It's the capital, I think, of California.
Sacktown.
Sacktown. I like it.
Phil knows it well.
So, yeah, you're right. The price of the ticket, which I thought was like, who's going to Sacramento?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? From Chicago, it was outrageous.
Yeah.
So, and I don't have a choice. It's not. It's like another way to get there.
Right.
You know what I mean? I can't drive.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Well, you go for the $8 a gallon gas, but you stay for the wildfires.
That's right.
Good one, Ed. Listen, we got a ton of stuff to get to today. Massive news coming out of one Brookfield, Illinois,
That's correct.
We will be talking about in a second. We are going to spike the ball here for the Teamsters 727.
Can't wait.
And then we got a ton of other stuff to get to. We got Chipotle. We got the Daily Herald. We got Michigan.
Did you say Chipotle?
Is that what it's called, Chipotle?
Sure, yeah. Just call it that.
What is it? What is
Chipotle.
Chipotle?
Do you call it Chipotle? I shouldn't have called that out because that's really funny.
Chipotle.
Call it Chipotle.
What are you supposed to say?
Chipotle, I guess.
How do you know that?
Ed's a linguist.
When it comes to fast food, Ed's a linguist.
For sure. I'm an expert on not many things.
It's called Burger King.
Royale with cheese.
It's a Royale with cheese.
All right, listen, we'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. So, we said that we have some big news coming out of Brookfield, and we do. As you know, I think our listeners have been following this really closely. A few weeks ago, John Coley was in here. He's the
Secretary Treasurer, he's the top officer.
The number one at Teamsters
727.
And so the Teamsters 727 represents the workers at the Brookfield Zoo, have for a very long time. They're called
animal care specialists, animal care technicians.
Animal care
not
specialists.
Zookeepers.
Not zookeepers.
Do not ever call them a zookeeper.
Yep, that's the thing.
I learned the hard way.
Yeah, you live and learn.
Yeah.
So, first of all, they had been in just a couple hundred,
fight. Right?
Yeah, a ton of people there,
yeah.
But not enough, quite right. frankly, yeah. because there were some safety issues going on and things like that.
Yep.
And they had fired this woman that had been here for 30 plus years, and she was on the show, and the team just got her job back, and then they got ready to get into negotiations, and negotiations went south very quickly.
Yeah.
We come to find out, by the way, that the executive director of the Brookfield Zoo makes like 800 grand or something crazy like that.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was nuts. I could not get over it. And it's a not-for-profit, and it's actually, the land is owned by Cook County, so it's a not-for-profit. But it's not like a public entity. It's all this like weird machinations.
And they had fewer staff, fewer animals. They weren't bringing in new animals. And where they were sort of expanding was like events like concerts and stuff. So
yeah.
It was like moving away from being a zoo and just moving toward being like an event facility or
Which
something.
It doesn't make any sense. People want a zoo. And the Brookfield Zoo is awesome.
Yeah.
Like it's absolutely awesome. So anyway, they come to Loggerheads. They can't get a deal. You know, some of the sticking points are staffing issues. They needed more staff.
Right.
There was a massive insurance issue where Brookfield Zoo was basically saying, we're not paying any more money for insurance, if at all. It was still unclear whether they even had that on the table. And then obviously dollars and cents. So they walked out on strike, and I think they were out for 2 days, and they came back to the table, and they settled very quickly.
Yep.
And they killed it. The Teamsters killed it. So there's going to be, let's see, so today's Sunday. There is a ratification vote on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So next week we'll report on a little more details of the contract and give them, you know, give the workers the opportunity to vote on it. But let's just say that that strike was very effective.
Yeah.
What's your favorite animal at the zoo, Ken and Phil? I'm interested.
Oof, that is really good.
Yeah.
In Chicago, the zoo in Lincoln Park, they have kangaroos, and these suckers will stand up and fight each other.
They're jacked.
They literally stand up, and they stand there and fight. I can't get enough of watching kangaroos fight each other.
Very
as long as it doesn't get ugly.
Muscular creature.
So what about you, Phil?
I'm going to go with a lion.
You're a lion guy.
They're majestic.
Wow.
I'm a big
elephant. What a life. I think a lion sleeps like 20 hours a day. They get up, they have something to eat.
Slightly more than Ed.
Slightly.
Yes. They saw your children, they go right back to bed.
That's for sure.
So, anyway, we'll have more to report on that. But, you know, kudos to 727 for fighting the good fight, for taking care of their members, for having the gumption to go out on strike. And you know, I'll give another shout-out to them. You know what they did was they left some of these animal care specialists in the zoo to make sure that the animals weren't negatively affected by this strike. At some point, they were going to have to pull them out. But for the first couple of days, they're like, you know what?
That's great.
It's not the apes' fault that, you know, that the Brookfield Zoo was being piggish.
They care about what they do. They have an obligation to the welfare of the animals, and they take it seriously.
Did you get my joke?
Piggish?
Piggish, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, it's like a little zoo. That's like a neighborhood zoo kind of an animal. I don't know if they have pigs. It's like a petting zoo. We're talking the big time.
I'm going to start organizing petting zoos.
Why? I'm kidding. Do you like zoos, or is it just for the petting?
You like petting.
Heavy petting.
Oh, ayo. All right, listen. So let's
hold
let's,
on. Also, is it just a coincidence, or did they come to terms to the table, the zoo, right after we announced this news on the radio show about the strike?
That's an excellent point, Phil.
I mean, there seems to just be several of these instances popping up.
There's a lot of credit to go around.
Well, Phil,
someone comes on the show, next thing you know, there's a deal in place.
And also, if we talk about something.
Could be a coincidence.
Didn't you talk about ISU?
Yes.
What happened there?
ISU
just settled
their contract. 300 workers.
How many?
300, I believe.
All right.
It's called the Workers' Mic Effect.
That's right. Building, grounds, and dining service employees who are affiliated with AFSCME just got a deal, 3.5% wage increases.
Okay.
And that was a marathon session. That went to federal mediation.
Yeah.
And they finally came to terms, and I think everyone's going to get a lump sum bonus payment. And
okay.
Good for them.
Good for them. I do love a lump sum.
Yes.
The 3.5, the only issue, you know, we continue to sort of go back to this was, you know, 3.5% of the building trades is a lot of money.
Yes.
Right? I just talked to, I forget, the 49ers, and I think they got a deal, and it was like 4, 4, and 5, something like that. That's of a big number. 3.5% of a cafeteria worker, you know, in Southern Illinois is probably not a large raise. And so I don't know what the cost of living there. Obviously, did the members vote it up?
Yes.
All right. So
overwhelmingly. I'm not sure if it's been ratified yet, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If they're happy, we're happy.
Yeah.
It's a good point, though, that you make, Ken. And I read this morning from the Bureau of Labor Statistics or from Economic Policy Institute that the spending power, like real wages, have gone down 12% since 2019. So with inflation and everything that's happened in the last 6 years,
it has to have.
The average person who's earning money has 12% less spending power. That's an enormous drop.
Yeah.
Because of inflation, because of the cost of everything, right? Obviously, now gas, if you fast forward this a year from now, it's going to be even worse than that.
Bologna sandwiches are coming back.
Speaking of food, Ed, you talked about this the other day.
What's up with me? You know, you just linked me with fast food. It's the second time today. Is this a hostile workplace?
Ed, you're the expert on this.
I think that comment was barely legal.
Hey-o, good one. No, Chipotle, right?
Yeah.
Or Chipotle?
Chipotle.
Chipotle.
You should just call it Chipotle.
Yes. It's Chipotle, whatever it is.
It's kind of like a New
York thing.
First of
all, it's actually quaint. If you want to say it phonetically, it's Chipotle, right? Because that's how it's spelled. Chipotle, that's what I call it.
Chipotle it is.
You know, and I'll tell you what, I'm not a fan.
I'm a fan of their food.
Yeah, well.
Shocking to no one. Shut up. Who doesn't love Chipotle?
I'm staying out of that one.
Well, whatever. I'm standing
by what I said.
But
they did. They had the playbook down because there was a Chipotle store in
Lansing.
Lansing,
yeah.
Michigan?
I think Lansing, Michigan.
Okay, fair enough. And the Teamsters organized them.
And 4 years ago.
4 years ago. And Chipotle took the playbook of, what? You want a union here? We're going to fight, and we don't think it's valid.
And we're not going to negotiate with you.
Yeah, we're not going to negotiate. We'll give everybody else raises. And, you know, just whatever the playbook is. And the problem is, of course, that they dragged it out. Mm. And when they dragged, you know, when you're in such a small group of people, and I want to say, what was it, 20, 25 people that worked there?
The vote was actually to authorize. It was 11 to 3.
Okay, so small, right?
And
so,
a place like Chipotle, how many of those 14 people were still there, you know, 4 years later?
And that's the issue with organizing, you know, in the fast food world.
The deck is stacked against you.
Well, there's so much turnover. Yeah. So if it's 11 to 3, you know, and four people of those 11 got other jobs, finished their college degree, and that's where they were working during college, and then went back home, or whatever it is, the tables flip very, very easily. Mm-hmm. And I think the Teamsters eventually lost support, Ed, right?
Yeah, so just this past week, the Teamsters disinterested this group, meaning they just walked away from it. And it was driven by a couple things, mainly the employees were like, we've had our pay raises withheld this whole time. Chipotle has refused to do any of the sort of standard increases that they did for everybody else. Right. They've disciplined a bunch of members unlawfully. Mm-hmm. And so the employees are like, there's no path here. We don't see ourselves getting to a contract. So we just want to be done. Now, the National Labor Relations Board did have complaints against Chipotle for the retaliation, for the failure to pay wages as they were required to. So the Teamsters walked away, and Chipotle then made these, you know, however many of these workers were left whole, and they took the derogatory remarks out of the one person's personnel report. But if you're Chipotle,
whoop-de-doo.
This is, I mean, I was on Worker Wednesday, and this is exactly what I said. This is exactly the outcome they're looking for.
Of course. Oh, yeah.
They are back to having zero non-union locations. They set an example of, if you try to start a union,
100% non-union. They have zero.
I'm sorry. They have zero union locations.
Yeah.
But they set an example that if you want to do this, you're not going to get a raise. Some of you are going to get fired.
Listen, the next one that happens, they're going to go, "Hey, everybody, look what happened in Lansing."
Yeah.
And this is what happened. And here's what the Teamsters walked away, and they never got a contract, and it wasn't our fault. It was the union's fault because the union simply didn't do a good job. And blah, 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 blah.
And again, it's just an example of the federal labor laws in the United States are completely broken, and even Republicans now are pushing for something that says, if workers want a union and have a vote and lawfully elect to have a union, you've got to negotiate quick. And if there are unfair labor practices committed, then it obligates the union or the employer to have to sit down to bargain over this stuff. Because allowing people
that was like the FAST Act, right?
Yeah, and they also say if you don't get a contract within a certain amount of time, then it goes to an arbitrator. And the arbitrator decides that contract. Just like a Major League Baseball player's arbitration, the salary arbitration, the arbitrator decides that contract.
Yes.
And in the great state of Illinois, we have interest arbitration. That's what it's called for public employees in certain instances where the arbitrator will come in. You're at an impasse and says, okay, the union's proposal on wages, yes. Management's proposal on management rights, yes. And so it's not a winner-take-all. It's each individual item that's left to negotiate, that's left on the table. The arbitrator comes in and decides those things. But there's a decision.
Yes.
And it happens quick. I don't know if organizing Chipotle is a smart use of your resources. There's a ton of turnover. You know, it is a low – look –
Everybody deserves a union,
but you have to figure out a strategy, right? Like you said, there has to be a choke point, or you have to, you know, make sure that they can't get deliveries, or they can't get their chicken, or their fajitas, or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, just no picketing at the Glen Ellyn, Illinois location.
Well, that was my next question. Are we boycotting?
No.
Ugh.
Not yet.
I'm already boycotting Waffle House and Trader Joe's and Portillo's. I mean, what am I supposed to eat, Phil?
There's literally nothing left for Ed to eat.
No. He'll find a way.
I will. You better believe I will.
You're damn right he will. All right, listen. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with a ton more labor stuff right here on The Workers' Mic, 720 WGN.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Workers' Mic. More show to come. Sponsored by Hinge Health. Hinge Health specializes in personalized digital exercise therapy designed for hardworking people, just like you. It's pain relief without waiting rooms and costly medications. Visit hingehealth.com today. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Tons of news, right? Just breaking, 115,000 jobs were added this month, right?
So, hot off the wires.
Yeah, and that's a lot. The blew past expectations. Now, I always take those numbers with a grain of salt because next month they'll come back and say, oh, did we say 115,000? We meant 15,000.
Yes. Yeah, we've revised that down to negative 400,000.
Well, no, they only report the positives. The negatives, it gets buried. Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, it's like, right, Ed, tell I shouldn't laugh. But this, some of this stuff is so ironic and so predictable that you can't help but chuckle, but it really is devastating, obviously, to the people that are getting laid off, i.e. at Citibank. I'm a huge Citibank fan. Have been with them for 1,000 years, plus our great credit union.
A lot of New Yorkers are Citibank people.
For sure, yeah. That's where it started. Mm-hmm. And so Citi Field and whatnot. But what did they do, Ed?
So they laid off about 1,000 workers, and a good chunk of that was this whole senior leadership team of the what they call the AI Champions and Accelerators team, which their whole job was to try to get all these other teams and all these other workers to adopt AI into their daily work processes.
Yeah.
So these are the champions of AI running around and pushing this, and they all got laid off. Because now if you want to know how to use AI, you just ask AI how to use AI.
AI will tell you how to use AI. So do you know there's a company called, I want to say it's like True Green. They advertise on golf things or whatever. Yeah. And like, you know, we'll come here, we'll take care of your grass, whatever. And I have a patch of grass in my backyard that's like 12 by 12. Mm-hmm. It's a typical Chicago patch of grass.
You take good care of that.
Completely obsessed with it. I'm like, oh, True Green, this is, you know. So I literally, like, I fill the thing out, and I get a text. I'm like, hey, this is Rachel from True Green. You know, can we set up an appointment to come out and view your property? I'm like, oh, you know, just, you know, what do you think it would cost, blah, blah, blah. Hey, this is Rachel from True Green. I'm like, are you a robot?
Yes.
I am an automated blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, F you, Rachel.
Oh.
And she...
The robots are going to take it out on you one day.
It wrote back, you have been unsubscribed from this conversation. Like, come on, man. If you're going to have a robot, like, just like, my name is Robot. Don't say it's Rachel.
Everything is an AI.
That might be like an example of where robots are better than people, though, because if you get frustrated, you just say that and you're done.
You take it out.
Interaction
of the robot.
Is over. You can't do that with people.
I enjoy it.
You say that and they just keep coming at you.
I enjoy saying it.
Out of their car windows.
Just for the record. So. And I'll tell you another one. Going through... I want to say it was Wendy's the other day. It was AI taking your order, and I said, I'd like to speak to a human. And they said, hold on, you know, one moment. And all you got to do is say, I want to speak to a human. But I'm not going to give my order to a robot.
Everything at Wendy's is AI now, right? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
And you go to the, like, look, we talked about this. You go to the airports. All right, let's go.
They have more flavors on the Frosty menu, though, I heard.
Yeah.
The guy in my car as we went through the drive-thru.
Heard it from a friend? Yes.
That is true.
Yeah.
So I think all this stuff with Citi and elsewhere, it just presents organizing opportunities for workers. Like, hey, this is maybe going to be your last chance to protect your jobs, to protect your hours, to protect any sort of consistency with your scheduling. You got to form a union. I mean, you can bargain that stuff, you know, because...
There's no question about
without
it.
Without that, what do you have anymore?
Listen, the writers... You know, give them credit where credit's due. They got in front of it, and they have protections now built in place.
In Hollywood?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? SAG-AFTRA, they all saw that train coming before anybody else. But here in the tech world and in banking, whatever, like, oh, they'll never fire me. I'm essential to Citibank will not exist without me. And sure, the Citibank will have 5 employees in 10 years. Right?
You're probably right.
Yeah, so it's crazy. And it's like the foxhole prayer, like, hey, you should have started to think about this earlier. Like Google workers are organizing and Facebook and things like that. You need to do it. Speaking of foxhole prayers, I will give a heads up to one Daily Herald newspaper, which is here in Chicago, covers mostly the suburbs, correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
They are owned, I don't know who owns them at the moment, but they are being pursued.
I think they're family owned. Or Paddock? Paddock?
Yeah. It used to be Paddock Publishing.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are being pursued heavily by a one Alden Media Group.
Alden Global Capital.
Oof.
Yeah.
Owners of the Tribune.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And when Alden went after and bought the Tribune, bad things happened to the staff at the Tribune.
Yeah.
And I looked at the Trib's contract with the Newspaper Guild, and, you know, I don't want to cast aspersions, but it's pretty one-sided. And, you know, they're going to be going after the Daily Herald. So, Daily Herald, you better hurry up.
Yeah.
Form your union because you're in trouble.
Well, Alden Global Capital has never been shy about the fact that their whole strategy is you take newspapers, which over the long term are in decline, fewer people reading, less money coming in. So you buy it for the brand. You fire everybody. Mm-hmm. You hire like the most low wage people you can to write some general stuff, and you just squeeze as much money as you
can.
And
or have AI generate articles.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, talk about an opportunity. They're loving the AI wave. But yeah, they've done this with dozens of newspapers over the past decade, and it's been terrible for the employees and for the quality of the news everywhere that they've done it.
Yeah, it's been terrible for just, you know, civics in, within communities. Like, no one knows what's going on anymore. You know, no one's really paying attention.
Phil, that's why we have TikTok.
Yeah, exactly.
What do we need a newspaper for? We got TikTok.
It's a good point.
Right? We got the workers' mic.
Yeah.
We'll tell you what's going on.
Labor news and all the hottest dance moves.
We'll tell you what's going on.
We are the number one source of labor news for sure. But yeah,
and our dance moves are not bad either.
As someone who's a former newspaper reporter, it's pretty sad to see what's happened. But we do got to give a shout out to the Tribune for winning a Pulitzer.
Oh, nice.
This week.
Yeah, there you go.
Coverage of
awesome.
Operation Midway Blitz.
That's right.
Yeah.
Cool.
So,
good for them.
Kudos to them. And a person I went to grad school with, Erica Slife, was one of the managing editors, or excuse me, deputy metro editor, who was recognized. So,
good for them.
Congrats, Erica.
So you probably have the claim to fame of like once drunkenly hitting on a Pulitzer Prize winner.
No comment.
All right.
Way to go. Smart move. My client, Mr. Davidson, has no client. No client. No comment. I have no client. All right. So some more news. You ready?
Yeah.
Amazon, right?
Heard of them.
Let's see. 200 years later, they were ordered to bargain with the Staten Island Amazon Union. Now, this guy.
No way.
This guy, Chris, I think his name is Chris Smalls.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. He was recently arrested at the Met Gala for like trying to climb over the barricade, and you know, because Jeff Bezos now took over the Met Gala, blah blah blah, and there was a big thing of him like up on the walls, like you remember me? You fired me from Amazon. I'm still here. Blah blah blah. And then someone,
Jeff Bezos, said, "You're killing me, Smalls."
Good one.
That's a good one.
And so, Jeff Bezos said, what? I don't care. Like, I'm going to ignore this like I do everything else. And so Amazon was ordered to bargain with the Staten Island Amazon Labor Union. And I'm not sure if it's affiliated with the Teamsters now or not. Sure, they're going to appeal it, right?
By court order?
By NLRB.
NLRB.
National Labor Relations Board said you need to order. it's got as much teeth as my 90-year-old grandmother. So it is, I just, once again.
But you're right. Like, that was big news. Remember, he was on the cover of Time. I mean, this guy was a media star.
Yeah.
And then went away because Amazon just blocked it, which is what giant conglomerates can do when someone's trying to organize. They just wait you out, and then it just fades away. But I'm glad they're sticking to it, and that would be awesome. Because as of today, there's none of those warehouses are organized, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all the Amazon drivers are like, how come the guy driving the UPS truck is making four times as much money as
exactly.
I am? We do the same job.
And gets like, breaks.
Yeah. There's a very simple answer, folks.
Yeah, it's a part of the union. But yeah. Amazon says that those drivers are not employees.
Yes.
They're subcontractors.
Yeah.
So when they went and organized a subcontractor, and the subcontractor was found to have to, you know, bargain with the union, I think the subcontractor turned and said, oh, no, wait a second. No, that's actually Amazon or something like that.
So he took over the Met Gala? Bezos?
Yeah. So Bezos took
and
over.
What did he drop on it?
He took over the after party. It's still the lady from Vogue or whatever.
Anna
Wintour.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's much more. He had the big pre-party and after
truly
party.
Truly vile what this guy spends his money on, and
by the way, this
lays
this,
off thousands of people daily almost.
Yeah,
you know, it's
crushing economy, crushing our
gross.
Mom and pop stores.
Like who is in his corner being like, I love this guy. He's doing a great job. Yeah, you know?
I was going to put it out there. I think he's on steroids.
Yeah, he's for sure.
That might be impacting this, because when he was like 20, he looked like a 50-year-old man, and now that he's 50, he looks like a 20-year-old man.
He probably knows something we don't.
Yeah, there's a cure to aging, and it's called money.
Is Warren Buffett the only gazillionaire who's like, yeah, you can tax me. I'm fine with it.
There's a few, but he's not many. He's the leader.
There's not many.
Yeah.
And Bezos' ex-wife, I mean, she's the best.
Yes. Yeah.
She got divorced, and she walked away with like $36 billion.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's given away since then $24
billion. No way.
And today she's worth more than $40 billion.
Oh, my
Lord. So, like, the money, you can tax these people, is what I'm saying. They're going to be all right.
What's her name?
Mackenzie Scott.
Right. She's dropped a ton of money in Chicago.
And I think she's taken.
How do you know?
I'm not sure.
Mackenzie, if you're listening, my name is Ken. How's it going?
We really like what you're doing with all that money.
Yeah. Yes. I have a radio show on Sunday morning.
I have a college fund.
Yes. You love charity.
I have a 12 by 12 patch of grass behind my house.
You've heard of Jerry's kids. We're here to talk about Phil's kids.
All right. So we got that. And let's see what else. There is, speaking of the arts, the Kennedy Center, right? You know how they laid everybody
Trump
off?
Trump Kennedy Center.
The Trump Center. Is it Trump Kennedy Center? I refuse to call it
Trump Kennedy
anything.
Center.
No, yeah, for about two more years, it'll be called that.
Yeah, exactly. But what are they? They shut down and they laid everybody off because they're going to remodel and blah, blah, blah. And IATSE, which is the stagehands union, filed an unfair labor practice charge against them to say, like, hey, listen, you don't just get to lay us off. You don't get to just fire us. You have to actually negotiate the effects of the layoff, how it's working, seniority, severance pay, you know, continuation of benefits, recall rights, all of the stuff that you got to do. They just decided not to do it. And so IATSE, kudos to them. They have a contract in place.
That's awesome.
And they're going to go enforce that contract. And that's the difference between having a union in place. When things like this happen, you have recourse, right? What
perfect example.
Teamsters do, what Unite Here does, you know, when, you know, they try and mess with them, you know, they're there, they're ready for the fight, they've seen it before.
Yeah.
And so that's why
you can't fire someone over a president's whims.
Right.
Well,
I mean, it's really what's happening.
The president can.
yeah, but
you know what he's doing now, Phil? He's trying to take away civil service protections for tens of thousands of civil servant government employees. So what's civil service? Civil service is kind of like a watered-down union where you have some recourse to unjust firings and some adverse employment decisions. And, you know, there's a civil service board, blah, blah, blah. Trump is the bill's teed up or it's ready to roll. It's just waiting for a signature to sign off that says, hey, civil service folks, I know you've worked here forever and you've had this civil service protection.
Yeah. Career government employees.
Yeah. People that have devoted their life to literally civil service and didn't make as much money as they would in the private sector, but, you know, this was their passion. From now on, you are what is called an employee at will. Mm-hmm. And that means I can fire you for you wearing the wrong color shirt.
Yep.
Right? At will, meaning at my will, not your will, my will. So he's literally, it's not like he has had enough of punishing public sector, you know, government employees. Now it's like, they didn't even have a union.
No.
They just had some civil service protections. Now it's going to like, we're going to take away those two. Yeah. Why not?
They're going to see, have you said anything bad about the president in your social media profiles? And, yep, sorry, you got to go.
Yeah. That's a good point, Phil. So, once again, I hate to laugh at this stuff, but it is becoming so punitive and mean-spirited and pointless. There's no reason to take away civil service protections from civil servants, right? They've been working there forever. And there's no reason to take away union contracts from TSA employees who literally showed up to work during the shutdown for free.
Yep.
Right? And you're going to punish them, take away their, you know, union contracts, or at least you're going to try to, right? And Pete Hegseth canceling, you know, his underlings contracts, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, why? Like, what is the rationale for this? The rationale is, in their mind, is unions equal Dems. Dems vote, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
And we want to get rid of all Dems.
All political.
So, therefore, if you get rid of unions, there's no more Democrats. That's what this is all about.
Yeah.
Also, money, right? Unions drive up the cost of doing business. So it just, I don't know.
There's a long-term effect, though. I mean, I think I've told you guys, I have a friend who works in the federal government.
Hold on. You have a friend?
I have one friend.
Oh, okay.
And he's still kicking.
We're associates.
We don't see each other much, so we're still friends. Our friendship has survived. But no, he works in the federal government in the financial sector. And they recently, like within the last 3 months, put out a job posting for what used to be a very popular job. And they would get hundreds of applications from across the country. He's got no applications for this.
Really?
So like the impact of this, we all pay taxes. People complain about government service. People don't complain, whatever.
Yeah.
It's there. We're paying for it. We're supposed to get something from the federal government for our money. We're not going to be able to hire anybody to work there. Certainly not anybody qualified who has any other option. Because people would, as you always say, Ken, go work for the federal government because maybe you don't get as much money, but you have job stability.
Yeah.
There is no job stability.
Not now.
You can be fired on a whim. You're being vilified to the entire country. So, yep. Like, who would ever want to go work for the federal government? And that's a problem.
Yeah, it's brain drain.
I mean, banking is one thing, but, like, intelligence.
Yeah.
Like, you need smart people. That's the whole thing.
Well, didn't Marco Rubio just say that we're not a stupid country?
Oh, yeah.
That was the thing on TV, yeah. On News Nation, they reported Rubio, quote, "We are not a stupid country."
If you're explaining, you're losing.
If you're explaining, you're losing. Yeah. By the way, I think we are a stupid country.
There's no doubt.
Getting dumber every day.
Yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, you're right, Ed. And it's the same thing that you saw what happened in Wisconsin after Act 10. You saw this mass exodus of teachers. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Just teachers leaving. Like, why am I going to stay here? And you know, I could literally go across the border and work in Illinois and have great benefits and union protections and higher wages and blah, 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 blah. And so, anyway, you're right. And, you know, more to come on this. We'll take a quick break and then we're going to wrap up with a couple of more little news stories about labor right here on the Workers' Mic. WGN 720.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Workers Mic right here on 720 WGN. And you'll notice we just got played in by our dear friend and fellow Chicagoan, Mr. T, with his annual tribute to...
Wait, he's from Chicago?
Yeah, that's where Sly Stallone found him. He was a bouncer. Stallone found him and is like, I want you to be in my movie.
I did not know that.
Lived in Lake Forest.
Really? Wait a second. Mr. T lived in...
After he found success, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Did he grow up in Lake Forest?
Didn't he cut all the trees down on his property? People got pissed off.
Yeah, it was a little controversial.
Mr. T did have a war on trees.
Yes.
War on trees.
But anyway, this was his song celebrating our favorite holiday of the week, and that is Mother's Day.
I'll say favorite holiday of the year.
The year, okay. Mm-hmm. You must be trying to get some points at home.
What? What are you talking
Phil's
about?
Phil's trying to get back in the will.
Fair enough. But yeah, I mean, Mother's Day is special for a lot of reasons, but one of the most important reasons is it's one of the few recognized holidays that Ken will still show up to work for.
Ooh,
Ken, hey. Ken loves a holiday more than anyone, but he's still here, folks.
So. Holiday pay.
I'm only here to say happy Mother's Day to my mom.
Yeah,
Sylvia.
That's not nothing.
Sylvia.
So, yeah, a little special. Raised
me in a union household, single mom, struggling, working 15 jobs.
Putting up with you.
Putting up with me. Yeah, but
modern saint.
Look at us now. I got 12 by 12 patch of grass in my backyard.
You've made it.
There you
go. If Mackenzie Scott's listening, that 12 by 12 might be getting ready to get a little bit bigger.
Now we're talking.
Yeah. So in the listener of the week, it's special Mother's Day edition. So Phil,
happy Mother's Day to my mom, Ellen McDermott Davidson, union member, former union steward for CTU.
There we go.
So yeah, she's one of the greats as well.
All right,
we're all fortunate, and all our moms are maybe our biggest listeners.
That's for sure.
That's for sure.
And some of our harshest critics.
And
I will
some
say.
Of our harshest critics for sure.
Well, I can say this: you know what the one thing, Ed, that your mom and my mom have in common? They hate Phil.
I think Phil's mom might be in that boat sometimes too.
I know his dad was.
Yeah, right.
Oh man, too soon. But
ouch.
Yeah, my mom Jane Maher, she listens every week, and you know, love you, mom. You're the best.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So shout out to all the moms.
All the moms. Happy Mother's Day. We missed some things. Remind me next week to talk about Michigan and what's going on with their labor bills. Because I think it's pretty interesting. We'll file that under the soon-to-be barely legal next week. Anything else that I'm missing, guys?
I think
we're good.
Exciting news about Rockford, building a new hotel.
There we go.
A lot of work for building trades.
Yep. Listen, we thank you all. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. And kudos to the Teamster 727, AFSCME for getting that contract, and you know all the other wins that are happening out there that you don't read about. There's so many. And we will be back next week with more of The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of The Workers' Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.